This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After the Battle of Uhud, which was considered by some to be a setback for the Muslims, when 70 of the great companions of the Prophet ﷺ were killed in the battle, in the aftermath and the wake of the battle, the tribes around Medina and in the Arabian Peninsula saw the Muslims as an easy target, as sitting ducks. So they were conspiring together to jump on the Muslims and annihilate the Muslims in Medina. So some of them were gathering troops to fight and attack Medina. Some of them were conspiring in other ways against the Muslims, and the Muslims didn't feel safe at all. And even the people in Medina, who were of other orientations and other faiths, were actually conspiring to attack the Muslims from within in Medina. To the point that every Muslim used to sleep with their swords in their hands. There was lack of safety, people didn't feel safe in their own homes. Yet the Muslims remained firm, and they remained strong. Then one tribe sent a convoy or representatives to the Prophet ﷺ, and they said, "We are interested in Islam, and we accept initially, tentatively, we accept Islam. We want you to send some of your learned companions to teach us." So the Prophet ﷺ sends to them 70 of the most learned companions. They were called Al-Qurra, because they were people who knew the Qur'an and the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ. They were scholars, they were teachers, qualified teachers. And they were sent to these people in Najd, in the middle of the Arabian Peninsula, to teach these people, offer them Islam and educate them on how to practice Islam and how to live it. When these people were sent to that area, that tribe had set the Muslims up, and they killed these 70 companions. They slaughtered them with cold blood on their way, and they killed them. And the Muslims remained firm. And that's the time when one of these Muslims was actually stabbed with a spear from behind in his back. And it penetrated his chest and it came, or it appeared from his chest. So the body was gushing from his chest, and he put his hand on his chest and he saw the blood and he put it on his face. And he says, "Fuztu wa Rabbi al-Kaaba." He said, "I've achieved my goal by the Lord of the Kaaba. I have achieved martyrdom. I've died for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the news and he was very angry at that. And for a whole month, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua in each prayer against them, against that tribe. And it was such a big hit to the Muslims. And it was such a tragic calamity. And in the wake of what happened in Quebec Masjid, and the martyrdom of these brothers, may Allah have mercy upon them and accept them as shuhada, and the ones who were injured, we Muslims see these as heroes. We see them as heroes, although our hearts go out for them and for their families. These people were killed treacherously, from behind. These people were standing up in prayer in a peaceful state, and someone comes, takes them by surprise. A cowardly act where he takes the lives of 6 innocent people who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people who are successful in their lives in worldly terms. A university professor, a person who works for the government, people who have professions and their own businesses, their lives were taken and their families were left behind. Their wives and their children were left behind without a provider, without a supporter. But we Muslims, we see further than that. We see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider. And Allah chose these people as martyrs. And Allah chose the wounded ones to bless them, to reward them and make them go through this trial. But this doesn't deny the fact that this was a cowardly terrorist act against innocent people. These are people who are affected, who swallowed hook, line and sinker this hate speech that's been spreading about and around, demonizing the Muslims and Islam, utilizing and capitalizing on the acts of a small number of Muslims who are going against the very tenets of Islam. And everyone knows that behind such terrorists who call themselves Muslims, there is hidden agenda. There are other hands pulling the strings of these people, and they want to demonize Islam. And the biggest victims of those people are the Muslims themselves. And you can see what's happening in the Muslim lands. So although our hearts go out to those people, to the victims of such a tragic and barbarous attack, and to their families, but we don't forget to see the other side of the picture, that these people are martyrs for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Each soul shall taste death. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. When their time comes, it will not be delayed, and it will not be hastened before the appointed time. So when the time for each one of us to die comes, you will die. There is no escape. So these brothers who were killed in that attack, it was meant for them to die at that moment. And we Muslims, because we believe in the word of Allah, the decree of Allah, the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, that although the way we see it, that an event led to the death of some people, but we see it otherwise. That their death was destined, and this tragic event came about to fulfill their destiny. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the authentic hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا هَيَّأَ أَسْبَابَهُ. If Allah wants something to happen, if Allah wrote for something to happen in the preserved tablet, if Allah destined for something to happen, then Allah will facilitate the direct means to make it a reality. So when someone dies in a car accident, or in a terrorist attack like this, these people were meant to die, but that accident came about to fulfill that destiny. And this is why the Arabs say in the proverb, لَا يُغْنِي حَذَرٌ مِّن قَدَرٌ, that precaution and measures will never stop an imminent death or an imminent occurrence. If something is meant to happen, it will happen. But that doesn't mean we give up precaution and we take the necessary measures. We have to take the necessary measures. But we have to put things in perspective. Things happen by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we seek Allah's mercy and acceptance for the brothers who died. And we ask and we seek consolation and support for their families. So, in light of this guidance, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي تَوَادُّهِمْ وَتَرَاحُمِهِمْ وَتَعَاطُفِهِمْ كَمَثَلِ الْجَسَدِ الْوَاحِدِ إِذَا اشْتَكَى مِنْهُ عُضْوٌ تَدَاعَى لَهُ سَائِرُ الْأَعْضَاءِ بِالْحُمَّى وَالسَّهَرِ. That Muslims to one another are just like one unity, one body, one physical body. That if any organ of it, any part of it is experiencing some pain and disease and illness, the rest of the body shares the pain, the fever and the suffering. So in the light of this guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are proud of the solidarity and how Muslims stood in solidarity with the families and with the ones who were killed in that tragic attack and with the injured ones. And that was such a beautiful demonstration of Muslim brotherhood. And we also hail and respect the solidarity that we saw from different segments, from the Canadian society at large, from the government itself, the Prime Minister himself, and the ministers, the mayors, and the deputies, non-profit organizations, people from other faiths, and different political orientations. We respect that, and we acknowledge that, and we value that. And that's a beautiful aspect of this society and of this country. And the Prophet ﷺ says, "Man la yashkur al-nas, la yashkur Allah." The one who's not thankful to the people, to human beings, will never be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we acknowledge this, and we are thankful for this. And we hope to see more of this solidarity, and we hope that this kind of solidarity and unity will be preemptive to stop any possible attacks on any kind of minority or segment of this society. And the community of Abu Hurairah and the management here at Abu Hurairah decided to show their solidarity and do whatever they can. So we have we are raising funds for the families of the martyrs and the injured. And we've been collecting the funds for a couple of days. And today, inshallah, the collection will go to the families. And it will be given directly to the families. So from now on, for about 5 days from now as well, you can still come to the office and you can share your donations to the main office here in the masjid. And you can also go online to the masjid's website, abuhuraira.org, where you can actually send your funds online. So all of us are invited to support these families and stand up in solidarity and demonstrate the Muslim brotherhood and the unity in practical ways. Hopefully, inshallah, that this would be the last incident that Muslims suffer from. We Muslims, when we look at such events and such tragedies, we never see them in isolation. We always see this as part of Allah's perfect plan, the divine plan for what is going to happen in this universe. And we know that whatever happens for the Muslims, anyone who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anyone who has faith, no matter what happens, it is happening for you as long as you believe in Allah and trust in Him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Aza ajaban li amri al-mu'min, inna amrahu kullahu lahu khair." Amazing. Amazing and impressive is the state of a believer. Whatever happens to him or her is actually good. So if a blessing comes his way or her way, they are thankful and this is good for them. Or if a tragedy or calamity or hardship comes their way, they are patient. That means they believe in the decree, the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they accept the qadr of Allah, that this is the plan of Allah and there is goodness in it. So they are patient and this is also good for them. So this is the stance and this is the attitude of the believer, whatever happens. But because of that tragedy, we Muslims should be careful. This places upon us a new challenge, a higher level of challenge, and we have to rise up to that level. We have to rise up as individuals and as a community. And there is a powerful resource that Allah has given us in our religion that makes us extremely influential and powerful and immune to attacks. And that's moral strength. Moral strength, the moral principles of Islam give us a powerful advantage and make us immune and strong. So yes, in our cultures that come from different parts of the world, oftentimes Islam is watered down. Oftentimes Islam is distorted. Oftentimes we follow culture, we don't follow Islam. Oftentimes you will find layman Muslims, average Muslims who don't have proper education. Or some Muslims who've learned a little bit about Islam and they think they know it all. And then they start acting in ways that go against the very tenets of Islam. And these things not only destroy the faith of the person, but they weaken the community and they give a bad image of Islam and Muslims. And this antagonizes people who are misled, who are brainwashed by the media and other means of communication. So they develop a stance and an attitude against Muslims. So we Muslims have to rise up to the level of that challenge and live Islam truly. We have been taking it lightly. We need to take Islam more seriously now. Live Islam in our personal life, in our public life, and hold on to the morality of Islam. What we've been talking about for months, truthfulness, respect, kindness, generosity, forgiveness, belief in the divine plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. integrity. All of these make us stronger. All of these help people see the reality of Islam. All of these make us immune and powerful in the sight of any sick hearts that are contemplating violating the sanctity of human life. We are supposed to rise up to the challenge. We are supposed to behave in Muslim ways when we're walking down the street, when we're driving, when we are selling and buying, when we are doing our jobs, when we are building our business, the way we interact with our neighbors. We shouldn't be passive. We shouldn't be negative. That time is over. Because we have to make a statement of what Islam really is. Because when we do not communicate what Islam truly is, you will have terrorist organizations hijacking our religion and giving a bad image. You will have people who will swallow the filth and the hate that the media is spreading around to demonize Islam and Muslims. And we can only blame ourselves for that. When we are quiet, other people will speak for us. But when we speak for Islam through our conduct, through our attitude, that makes a big difference collectively. That is very powerful. Islam is a very dynamic religion. It's a very dynamic religion, and it addresses the very center and core of humanity. And people can easily relate to it. But we made it so cultural. We want people to follow our culture, not the religion of Islam. We want people to follow our language, our preferences, our cultural tastes. These are all cultural things. Islam is universal. Islam speaks to the heart of every human being. And any well-meaning human being will be able to relate Islam and see its beauty. But we have not been communicating it well. As simple acts as just driving and keeping on your lane. Observing the rights of pedestrians, other drivers. Not seeking means round things. Not cheating on the system. All of these are powerful things that we are supposed to have. Checking on your neighbors when these things are not the norm here. Checking on your neighbors makes you take a proactive approach that Islam calls upon us. It's time for us to live Islam, because the times to come seem to be more challenging, and we can't afford to be passive anymore, because the ones who will pay the price are innocent people, children, future generations. When we are more proactive, when we are emphatic about communicating Islam in the right way, we stand up stronger. We stand up stronger. But when we are silent, when we are passive, when we are negative, we are sending a very negative message. And we have to understand that people communicate differently. In the East, where most of us come from, our cultures come from, passivity is respected. Silence is something that is admired. Compliance is a good trait, because it communicates respect. But in the West, you have to realize that if you are not emphatic and assertive, if you do not speak up about who you are and may identify yourself clearly and proactively, you are sending a negative message. Communication is different from culture to culture, from country to country. When you are passive and silent and you mind your own business in the light of the negative image about Islam in the media, you will be confirming that negative message. You have to come out of your way and communicate to people what Islam really is. But you can't do that truthfully and genuinely unless you embrace it in your heart. You can't act Islam. You can't do a show about Islam. If it's not in your heart, if you don't embody it in your person, in your house, in your family, in all your dealings, you cannot make a show of it. People will see through that kind of fake approach to Islam. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم من كل ذنب. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Part of acting on this, we need sometimes to revisit some of the assumptions that we think. Sometimes we take them as facts and realities. At these times when Muslims are under so much threat, Sometimes we need to put our differences aside. Yes. We need to put our differences aside. This is something even the companions of the Prophet ﷺ did. Muslims come from different cultures, different madhahib, different backgrounds and different cultures. And as long as we unite on the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has the sole right to be worshipped alone, and on following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as long as there are differences that we can accommodate in the light of these exceptional times that we're going through and that we will go through in the future, and that seem to be intensifying, we will be killing our own unity and our own strength, and we will be supporting the hate mongers that are spreading the hate speech about Islam, and we will make the Muslims a more vulnerable target. Difficult times and circumstances force prioritization upon us. When we put our differences aside, it doesn't mean that we agree to what's wrong and that we are complacent about it. No. But it means there's a greater danger. There's a greater danger where the lives of innocent people are on the line. And the Prophet ﷺ said about Al-Ka'bah itself, about Al-Ka'bah itself, he said that the destruction of the Ka'bah is easier for Allah than shedding the blood of one Muslim. Another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, لَزَوَالُ الدُّنْيَا أَهْوَنُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ إِحْرَاقِ دَمِ امْرِئٍ مُسْلِمٍ. The destruction of the heavens and the earth is lighter in the sight of Allah than shedding the blood of one Muslim. So Muslim blood is precious, and human blood is sanctified in Islam. We have to embody this, and we have to respect it. And we have to face our shortcomings, and our mistakes, and our weaknesses. We Muslims, sometimes as Muslim communities, we have sectarianism within ourselves, people who follow other madhab. We look down upon them. We have a hate speech against them. We demonize them. And then we feel baffled when other people are demonizing Muslims. And we say, why is this happening? And we don't see that we are doing the same to our fellow Muslims. There are Muslims who follow different madhahib and different understandings sometimes. Different scholars than yours. It doesn't mean you have the right to put them down. Even if you disagree with things that are important about them, central about Islam, as long as it does not compromise on Tawheed. And following the Prophet ﷺ keeps the person within the realm of Islam. You cannot compromise the unity of the Muslims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. And do not have disunity amongst yourselves. Because if you do this, then you are sowing the seeds of your death and your destruction and the removal of your power. So we have to be practical, and Islam teaches us this. We're not compromising on Islam. We will never compromise on Allah. We will never compromise on the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We will never compromise on the truth. But we will also never compromise on the lives of innocent people, no matter what, because they're sanctified in Islam and in the words of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We also need sometimes to stop the hate speech that some of us display towards other religions and other sects and other groups. We have to stop that. We have to stop that. We speak about disbelief, we criticize it, we uncover it, and we show it. But we do not put down human beings. You cannot expect respect and solidarity and support from other segments of the Canadian society when you yourself are demonizing others, disrespecting them, and speaking ill about them, and instigating hatred against them. Because if you do this, seeking your own rights, seeking solidarity and support from everyone else, when you are compromising the basic rights of other human beings, there's no name for that other than hypocrisy. There's no name other than that. And a lot of us do this, not for the sake of Allah, and not for the sake of Islam. It's just because some of us have grown up in houses full of hate. full of issues, full of grudges and resentments, and we're just expressing and fuming our hate, and we found a way to vent it out. So we need to be responsible in what we say. We need to be responsible in how we relate to other people. When they stand up in solidarity with us, when they support our rights, we need to support their rights. We need to respect them. And I know a lot of people will be fishing in my words now. Do you mean we support this and that? Do you mean we support these principles? We disagree with disbelief in Allah. We disagree with unethical practices and orientations. And we have no shame about this because we know that's the truth. But dealing with people is different. And Islam, all the Muslim scholars have always created a science around the fact that a person who commits kufr is not necessarily a kafir. And a person who commits a bid'ah is not necessarily a mubtadi'. So Islam sets or makes the difference clear between the principle and the person. So we have to be responsible. Anything you say, any word that comes out of your mouth is going to affect and have a big impact on the Muslim community in large. So we have to be responsible. Just a few notes about important things about safety and the security of the Muslims. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this event that happened in Quebec will not happen again. Nevertheless, we have to be careful. We have to be vigilant. So if you see any suspicious thing or you hear some hate words and hate speech, you're advised to report it to the National Council of Canadian Muslims. And if you think there's something serious, you need to report it to authorities. And in terms of the masjid here, I call upon each one of you to just be cooperative with the brothers who work here in the masjid. So sometimes there might be some measures. We need to protect our children, and we need to protect the innocent lives that are here. There's a huge number of people, so we need to be careful. The brothers who are doing the parking, sometimes you will find brothers at the door of the masjid. So please cooperate with them and do not have issues with them. Sometimes the brothers who do the parking hear words like, "You're racist." The brother is organizing parking, and someone's just because they didn't get the parking, or they saw someone from the brothers who work in the masjid, like I myself sometimes come late, and I have my parking spot, so I can come and give the khutbah. So the brothers keep some spots for people who are doing work in the masjid, necessary work for this Jum'ah to take place smoothly. So these brothers keep these spots sometimes for some people who are meant to deliver some things to the masjid, important things to the masjid. So you see the person who's organizing the traffic, letting someone in but not letting you in, don't say you're racist. Don't say you are just only allowing your friends and your people. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas it said, these times place a huge demand on us. We have to rise up, we have to mature, we have to grow. We have to become responsible. Enough with the childish stuff that a lot of us do without any sense of responsibility. That means lives, putting lives in jeopardy. And as I said, I stress the unity among the Muslims. I stress that. Stop the hate speech that we sometimes display. These are important things. These are things that will instigate issues. So let's put the safety first. And again, I conclude by really acknowledging and admiring and sending thanks and gratitude on behalf of the Muslim community here for everyone who stood up in solidarity with the Muslims in that event. And we saw some beautiful signs of people sending gifts and flowers to the masajid, showing them their respect and showing them that they are welcome and that we stand with you and support you. These are things that are admirable. And I hope that we Muslims will actually venture out to help other people. That we will stand up in solidarity with oppressed people, with other minorities as well. Otherwise, we are sending a very negative message. And that's one of selfishness and hypocrisy.